God's promises to David are enduring and provide special blessings to all who follow Jesus. In his sermon today, Brother David Johnson will speak to us on the topic found in Psalms 89, the first four verses, "Make your throne firm." We can always trust our God by looking into His Word. You are listening to the Words of Life program. For many years, Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers have sponsored this gospel effort in order to tell you about Jesus. We pray that God will bless you as you listen today.
Arms can shield thee. Thou wilt find the solace there.
Father, when we look at all that you have created, we marvel. But this is only a small portion of your majestic holiness and what it is like to live with you forever. For this, we worship and honor you. Thank you for your promises of salvation through Jesus. Please use the words of this program for your glory and help us to reflect that we know you. Bless each of our listeners with your peace, health, and a right relationship with you. World leaders also need to know that you are God. And Lord, when you have finished with us here upon this earth, take us home to be with you. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now present a sermon entitled, Make Your Throne Firm.
It's good to be together again as we look in to the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, Make Your Throne Firm. And our primary text is taken from the Old Testament, Psalm 89, verses 1 through 4. Please listen to the Word of God. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. This is the Word of God. As a springboard to the core of our lesson, we'll look back at history. And that not American history, but English or British history. Now, you might think this unnecessary, but as we will see in this case, English history as a background is of essential importance for us today, worshiping as we do in America, in the United States of America. Many centuries ago, we can't blame church leaders in England for agonizing every time a new monarch, a new king, was crowned. Or for that matter, a new queen was crowned. This because the religious persuasion of kings or queens determined who could literally be burned at the stake as a worst-case scenario. Anxiety continued even in the days of, for example, pastors like Isaac Watts and Thomas Bradbury. During their day, Queen Anne was on the English throne. She was the Queen of England, of Wales, and Ireland, and eventually Scotland for about 12 tumultuous years. You see, Queen Anne was a member of the Church of England, an Anglican. And the Parliament passed the so-called Schism Act, or Established Church Act. This act required that anyone who wished to keep, manage, or own a public or private school, or act as a tutor must first be granted a license from a bishop. Also, he or she must conform to the liturgy of the Church of England, to the Anglican Church only, and must conform to the liturgy of the Church of England and have taken in the past year the rites of the established Anglican Church. This act, therefore, sought to constrain, convert, or curtail dissenters, that is, non-Anglican-based schools or non-Anglican academies, from continuing. Many churchmen at the time feared that any non-Anglican would again be racked and burned as heretics. Early on August 1st, 1714, on a Sunday, some 307 years ago, a bishop was passing through Smithfield in London, where many martyrs of previous years had died. Seeing Pastor Thomas Bradbury, a dissenter apart from the Church of England, the bishop asked, "Why are you buried in thought, Mr. Bradbury?" Bradbury replied, quote, "I have been wondering, Bishop, whether I shall have the resolution of that noble army of martyrs whose ashes are deposited in this place. Similar times of persecution are at hand, and I shall be called to suffer." End of quote. "Then you have not heard the news. The Queen is seriously ill. I am on my way to obtain the latest particulars," said the bishop. "I will dispatch a messenger with the earliest intelligence of her death, should it come to pass. If you are in the pulpit when the messenger arrives, he will drop a handkerchief from the gallery." Later that morning, Bradbury ascended the pulpit, and in the middle of his sermon, a handkerchief fluttered down from the gallery. The Queen was dead. The Established Church Act was to take effect on August 1st, 1714. However, the Queen died on August 1st, 1714. Therefore, the danger had passed. Pastor Bradbury continued his sermon without pause. Only in his concluding prayer did he reveal to his stunned congregation that God had delivered these kingdoms from the evil counsels. He also prayed for the new monarch, King George I. Then Bradbury quoted in praise and thanksgiving Psalm 89, verses 1 and 2, taken from the CEV, Contemporary English Version, which, of course, he didn't use, but so that we get the meaning of this in modern language, quote, "Our Lord, I will sing of your love forever. Everyone yet to be born will hear me praise your faithfulness. I will tell them God's love can always be trusted, and his faithfulness lasts as long as the heavens." End quote. Churchman Thomas Bradbury, on that day, 307 years ago, worshipped his God and our God, emphasizing the Lord's love and faithfulness. And everyone yet to be born, including us today, in our hearing, can know what the original psalmist, Ethan the Ezrahite, wrote of our Lord's superlative love and faithfulness toward his people. Whether in Ethan's day, at least 1,000 years before Christ, or in Bradbury's day in the year of our Lord 1714, or today in the year of our Lord 2022, whenever this is broadcast, the Lord's love and faithfulness reigns forever, whether in good times or bad times, to emphasize God's love and faithfulness. Consider also the next two verses. Psalm 89, verses 3 and 4 from the New International Version, 1984 edition. Quote, "You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations." Covenant was made with David, the second king of Judah, who became the king of all of Israel, of all of the 12 tribes, eventually. The psalmist goes back to the original agreement. God inspired Samuel to write concerning David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11 and following. It says in part, "The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." The Lord God never breaks his original, unilateral, unconditional covenants, no matter how full of faults and failures, in this case, most of David's successors had been. The Davidic covenant still stands firm. Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah King, in his humanity, a blood descendant of David, of the tribe of Judah. He is reigning now in heaven on his Father's throne, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. However, one day, yet future, Jesus Christ will reign on this restored earth on Mount Zion on David's throne, as announced by God's angel to Mary in Luke chapter 2 verses 31 through 33. "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." In spite of all the rebellion of mankind, we today, just as churchman Thomas Bradbury, can, quote, "sing of the Lord's great love and make his faithfulness known, as you established your faithfulness in heaven itself." Also, we in the 21st century, Gentile Christians, will also be beneficiaries of Christ's reign, as we will reign with him, according to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10, and also Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. All the danger will have permanently passed for God's glorified saints. But what does this 18th century English history have to do with us Americans today in the 21st century? Just this. Most of our nation's founding fathers were of English descent. Political leaders like Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, who knew well the religious history of Great Britain with its many bloody scourges. That was not to be in the United States of America. Our United States Constitution was finally adopted in 1788, but contained few personal guarantees. James Madison led the adoption of the 10 Amendments that became known as the Bill of Rights. The bill finally went into effect on December 15, 1791, 3 years after the United States Constitution. Do you know what Amendment Number 1 states? Quote, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances." Why? because mankind is sinful and prone to abuse. In America, in the United States of America, we do not have one official state religion. No national established church. No liturgy to which we are all mandated by the government or by a monarch or a president to follow. No law can be passed to, quote, constrain, convert, or curtail, end quote, dissenting religion or denominations of its practices from an official national religion. Our wise founding fathers produced official documents that have stood the test of time and thus, quote, delivered these United States from evil counsels, end quote. The knowledge and appropriate application of history is a worthy endeavor. Prophecy is also a worthy subject, for although America now abides no kings or queens, the one purely righteous King of Kings is coming to reign, and his throne will remain firm, and all his people, all the nations, will be fantastically the better for it forever. In another sense, multiple religions have been the demise of mankind. One faith in Christ Jesus is divinely mandated, manifested by our Creator's love that stands firm forever through the cross and the empty tomb. The English have a saying, God save the king. That doesn't apply to the king who is coming. He is the Savior, but he's coming again, not to save, but to judge the living and the dead. Are you in Christ Jesus through obedient faith? You must be in order to be saved, in order to enjoy eternal life with God. Choose Jesus now. Put your obedient faith in him, and you will be saved.
Christ evermore. I am one with the Lord. In God's family we find loving friends and peace of mind. Oh, what joy sharing Christ as our King. In sweet fellowship we share His own gentle, tender care. Here at home in His love rich and
we thank you for the good attention you gave today. If you have questions about what you have heard, or if you'd like to share concerns for spiritual needs, please write to us at the addresses that we are about to give. To receive a free CD of this and last week's program, request CD number 2210. That's 2210. Please keep in mind the assurances that are found only in God's Word. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.